Good morning, Paul.
Oh, mate, great to have you in here. Now, I've just explained to people, of course, that you are a friend, but you and your lovely wife travel around and look after other people's residences. What a gig.
It's not a bad gig, Paul. It's not something we do all the time. It's just if something comes our way and we wanted it, we do it.
And it gets you a chance to travel around Australia.
It does.
And you're also a grey nomad in the sense of the fact that you do a bit of caravanning?
We do, Paul, yes. We've been caravanning for quite a lot of years now, yep.
Yeah, and what are the sort of places you've been to?
In Australia?
Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah,
pretty
exactly.
Pretty much everywhere. Pretty much.
All around Australia.
Mm. Back in 2005... we had decided to take off. We were in a position whereby we could leave our jobs, and we had a lady that wanted somewhere to live, so we popped her into our house on the basis that she paid for the electricity and watered the garden, and we hooked our van up and we headed west for, as I said, maybe 6 months.
Now, you were heading from where to where?
Sorry, yes, from Sojourn on the far west of South Australia.
Yeah, across the Nullarbor.
Heading across the Nullarbor, that's correct. And our accountant at the time was part owners of a 450,000-acre property at the western end of the Nullarbor. And so he was aware of what we were doing. He said, look, on your way past, could you pop in and give John a hand for a couple of days? Now, John was his brother who had been there for some time trying to establish part of this station into a tourism enterprise.
Yes.
And we thought that would be fair enough. We knew John. We knew our accountant. And so we called in. And to cut a long story short, we stayed. John left, and we further developed the property with the assistance of the owners of the place who lived on the property.
And the name of that property?
The property, Fraser Range.
Now, yes. I guess a lot of grey nomads who've been past there would know that particular caravan park in that area.
They would, yes, indeed. It started off probably in 2005. We would get very excited if we had three caravans in for a night and maybe fill two rooms, accommodation-wise.
Right.
But it wasn't long, and we had our full 25 sites full and all the rooms, and we had, I don't know, maybe 9, 10 rooms, something like that.
So you built up the business for them?
Oh, look, we helped. That's what it amounted to.
I think you're being a bit too modest there.
No, not really. one of the interesting things, Paul, I thought anyway, that we had a fireplace out in the open, of course, and a fire pit. And a lot of people came in and they had not experienced sitting around a fire, a campfire overnight. A lot of them are city people, and I understand that. And they would then call in on their way back. And so we got a lot of repeat business. And the fire pit grew from being a six-person fire pit to probably 36 people. It was quite a hit, an attraction.
And you also did tours during the day, of which I'm told you absolutely loved doing.
I did. Yes, that's another thing. There were a lot of interesting parts on that property. As I said, 450,000 acres was 160 kilometres from one end to the other. And so a lot of historical tanks and buildings and all sorts of things. And so I thought, look, this is worthy of a little tour. And so a little hour and a half tour then turned into 2.5 to 3 to 4 and really almost got out of hand. But it was good fun.
Yeah, no,
hard work, but good fun.
Absolutely. And of course, as you said, you've been to many places in Australia. Let's now go back, right back to when you started your career. Now, just to let people know, you were a police detective with the South Australian Police Force. And that took you to how many places?
Really, as a detective, only three, really. Did a bit of uniform work beforehand, of course, we all do that, and I went to quite a few places in the country, but as a detective, three in the main. Started in Adelaide, of course, and then spent quite a long time in Port Pirie, north of Adelaide, and then over to Sojourner on the west coast, where my life changed a little bit, in as much as I had the opportunity of promotion to the senior sergeant in charge of the police station, so we took that, And then having been there 6 or so years, the opportunity for a business came along at Ceduna, and we thought we might as well give this a go.
Okay, before you get to the business, when you were a detective, what were the most interesting things being a police detective in a country town like Ceduna, which is basically the gateway to the Nullarbor Plain? When you leave Ceduna, you're on the Nullarbor Plain across to Perth. So what are the interesting things you had to deal with, I guess, in a country town like that?
In Ceduna, we had, I guess because of the highway, a lot of people passing through that were wanted for various things in different parts of Australia. And so we were dealing with those type of people a lot.
They were coming past your patch.
They were. And back when I went there in 1977, the highway had just been opened, that is, fully resealed in 1976. And so we ran highway patrols from Ceduna out to the border and back. And this happened every day, overnight. The patrol would go out one day. And they would always find something, every time, without fail. And so we had a lot of work to do in that regard. But as far as work went, if any job, anything at all happened, we were it. We did it.
You would have staked out a few of these druggies from time to time.
Oh, that happened.
So yes. Were you out sometimes days on end?
Day and night and day and night.
Yeah, day and night and night and day.
Did a bit of that. Yeah.
And I guess there were some bad characters you saw from time to time.
Yes, I did. We did.
Okay. Doesn't want to go too much into that. We're talking with Rick Price. Rick is visiting our region and a former detective. And let's move on now. After your police career came to an end, you took up a business opportunity for Mobil in Ceduna.
Yes. Look, because of what's been in the paper this last week, you'd have to say for us, that is my wife and myself, Elaine, it was one small step for mankind, but it was a giant step for Rick and Elaine. We went into this fuel distribution business, and we were distributing for Mobil. It was our own business, but we were distributing Mobil product. And we covered a lot of ground. We had a few people working for us.
Yes, but were you out at the airport, weren't you?
We did all of that. Anything that required fuel or lubricants, we did, whether it was trains, ships, airport. Yes, we refueled aircraft.
Wow.
Did the whole bit.
And that job, because of the huge company that you work for, it took you around the world, didn't it, for the company and in enjoying the company of other distributors as well?
Yeah, it did, Paul. We went to the States a couple of times, Japan, yes, interstate, of course.
And you enjoyed that work while you were doing it?
I did. It was extremely hard work, but at the end of the day, it was good.
Well, businesses are always, as you know, about relationships, and so you would have built up some amazing relationships in that fuel business.
I think we did, and we were often asked why our business was successful, and I think it was because we did look after our clients, and we would, within reason, bow to their every wish. For example, if an aircraft wanted fuel at 3 a.m, hey, he got fuel at 3 a.m. If a fishing vessel came in and wanted fuel at midnight, Sunday, we would fuel him at midnight because he had to go out again.
Absolutely.
And so we built our business on that client relationship. Talking about customer relationship and looking after the customer, we moved into our business on New Year's Eve. And we therefore were working until the wee hours of the morning, just trying to get things sorted out in the house, etc., etc. And about 7:30 New Year's Day in the morning, toot toot, sound of a horn outside of our house. Now, our house was on the property of the business. And so I went out, and it was a local farmer. And he wanted next to nothing, but he was testing me out. Simple as that, testing me out. And I knew he was a big farmer. And so I gave him what he required. But it was basically that he was just trying me out, simple as that.
You had him then for the rest of your time.
Oh, we did.
There you go.
Certainly.
Talking with Rick Price, my good friend Rick Price, who is up in this region doing a bit of house sitting at the moment. They get around Australia quite a bit. And Rick, after you left the Mobil business, you retired from that. But you always retained a love for motorsport, didn't you? So tell us about your love for that.
Yes, the old V8 supercars in particular, but it was touring cars before that. I've been interested in that type of racing since I was a kid. And so I've followed that as best as I could without being able to compete, of course, because a bit expensive. But we've followed the motorsport pretty well.
Yeah, now V8 supercars, of course, underwent a change recently, didn't it? Or, you know, near times. How is the sport now compared to how it used to be? Because they made changes, didn't they? And we don't have the Holden Ford rivalry anymore, do we?
We don't, unfortunately. And I'm not sure that it's going to retain the interest that it has in the past few years. It might. I don't know about that. But people, I suppose, change. They accept what's there in front of them. But for me, I find it all a bit difficult to accept that maybe in a few years' time we're going to have the European cars and who knows what else competing here. But the Ford Holden bit, there's something special.
It's almost like it's un-Australian now, isn't it? Because we always had that Ford Holden rivalry, and it was a lot of fun to go to the races, and you have the Ford people, the Holden people, and they'd all be booing each other and always having a bit of fun, but then a beer at the end of the day.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, it was special. It was. I believe it was special. But it's changing. Everything has to change.
Simple all right. Well, let's wrap this up. Rick Price is my special guest this morning. And Rick, you've been to just about everywhere in Australia. Is there somewhere in Australia you haven't been that you would like to go?
I can't think of anywhere, Paul, but there are probably places that I would like to go to again. The Kimberley in particular is one of our favourite spots.
Yeah.
But look, there are so many places in Australia. It's not always the places on the tourist map.
You know, I've always wanted to go to that, you know, we're at Port Douglas, we're in far north Queensland, but that very tip up the top and look out towards New Guinea, I've always wanted to do that. You've done that?
Yes, we have.
What's it like up there, right at the end of Australia?
Paul, many people have asked us many times what it's like to cross the Nullarbor, and I don't tell them. So you find out. And I would say the same about Cape York, because my perception of Cape York may be vastly different to someone else's. And I think it's a great adventure. And you find out. You go.
Terrific. Rick Price, thanks for coming in. Thank you for talking with us about your life, about your police work, about your fuel work, and now as a grain nomad travelling around Australia. Fantastic. Thanks for coming in, mate.
Welcome, Paul.